Welcome to the Pop Culture Show with Barnes, Leslie, and Cubby.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Show. This is a lot like that flight to nowhere that you've been hearing about. We are the audio version of the flight to nowhere. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you for being here. Today on the show, Ken Block, who's the lead singer of Sister Hazel. They've got a big live stream event this Friday. It's the 20th anniversary of their album, Fortress. I love Ken. He is awesome.
It's incredible to think they've been together almost 30 years and so successful.
It's unbelievable. And I mean, everybody, I mean, who doesn't know? It's hard to say what it is I see in you. Wonder if multi-formats.
Great song.
Great guy. He's coming up here in just a little bit. Also, we've got the new iPhone iOS 14 came out. Have you guys updated? No, Leslie, you're not an iPhone person, sadly.
I have. I've updated.
Good. And there's a couple.
I do want to hear about it, though.
There's some secret features that you may or may not know about that I will tip you off to, because there's some hidden stuff that's not published that I have found out about. We'll get to that.
How'd you find out?
Bram, I'm the knower of everything.
I learned how to double tap. You double tap the back of your phone to do a screenshot. You have a setting you can do that. I learned that.
Appreciate you giving away one of my secret tips. There you go. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Well, you have to walk through a couple of things to get to that process, but you'll explain later on. Yes.
That's so cutty. I've got this secret. Yeah, and you can double tap the back to take a picture.
It goes to show that we're on the same page here. I mean, we're all working well together.
We are on the same page. So next week on the show, Matthew Hoffman, who is the narrator of Love Island. Here's what his voice sounds like. This guy makes the show.
Welcome to Love Island. Warning, the following program contains love, lust, and the most attractive unemployed people you've ever seen.
I mean, he does such a great job of narrating.
He makes you want to watch.
And I'm very bummed out. I won't be a part of this interview. It'll be just you three. I have to sit this one out. But
yeah, Cubby's got to go early next week.
What's going on, Cubby? What's your engagement?
Well, the wife and I have a little process with the baby every night at 6 p.m. where it's bath time, it's bedtime, it's read a story time. And I never want to miss that. And it's a whole family thing. And I think we're taping Mr. Hoffman around that time.
Yep.
So I have to sit this one out.
I tried to tell him it was bath time, and he just looked at me funny. And so I could
sort of see how that wouldn't go over, Cubby, in the household.
So I didn't explain.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the wife loves I'm doing this, but when it gets in the way of family time, you know,
sure.
I can't.
Well, I understand.
Their finale is next week, and he's going to be on with us the day before the finale. I've watched every drip of it, every moment.
You're trying to make Cubby feel bad?
It's on 7 nights a week. No, I'm just saying that it's awesome that we have him, you know, at that time.
Are you guys going to talk shit about me? No, Cubby's not
guaranteed.
Here.
I mean, that's not even...
That's cool.
Maybe that'll be the one episode you actually listen to. The
PopCultureShow.com
is the hub where you can listen on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, Cubby's employer, Pandora, wherever you get your podcasts. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the inaugural Amazon podcast. So please, if you're a Prime, you know, you get your free shipping, and now you get your Pop Culture Show with your free shipping.
Also, I want to thank a lot of people. Again, I get screenshots. We're tagged in a lot of screenshots of people that are just driving and they're listening to the Pop Culture Show. So shout out to all you people that have been reaching out and saying they love it. And again, I've mentioned a few people. We have an account executive at iHeartRadio named Jody. She listens every single week. Bernie, who's the president, Bernie Weiss.
No way.
Of iHeartRadio New York. He listens.
It's incredible.
We have a lot of cool people that are tuning in every single week.
I wish you could get Bob Pittman on, who is the guy who was like the brain behind MTV.
I'm going to play that card. I'm going to reach out and send an email this week and see what happens. He actually responds very quickly. For a guy as busy as he is, he'll hit me back pretty quick.
He's the president, right? Is he the president or CEO? What is he now of iHeart? Chairman,
CEO,
the king. It's like
the king.
Yeah, the king.
He's the king.
Yeah.
But this guy was the brain. I mean, this guy made MTV.
He made MTV, but I mean, Cubby is famous.
Cubby's famous.
Well, I'm not famous, but thank you for
He's
that.
Infamous.
I appreciate it. I've been doing radio as long as you guys. I mean, I'm up there with you guys.
Anything you want to share with the class before we get started on the real show? Leslie, Cubby?
Oh, we got two new foster cats from Kuwait.
Are they listening?
They arrived.
Are they listening to the show?
No, they don't. No, they're right now taking a shit in a litter box
That could boost our numbers. You have more cats in the house.
Explain how that works, how you got foster cats from Kuwait.
So the company we work for, or the organization we work for, is called Happy Homes. So they have a website called happyhomesinc.org, and we work with them. And they also have connections in Kuwait. And Kuwait, I don't know if you knew this or not, but they're overrun with cats. There are cats everywhere. And they, even like people that have cats there, kind of give them away. They'll have a cat for 4 years and say, I'm tired of this cat, and just get rid of it.
That's so sad.
I know. Not everyone's like that, but a lot of people just do that. And so a family, after 4 or 5 years of having this one cat, a black Scottish fold, beautiful cat, said, yeah, we don't want him anymore. So we were in touch with this organization in Kuwait. They send them, they fly them here. We pick them up, and then we have them in our house for a couple of days or a week and find them a home.
What language is in Kuwait?
That's a great question. And I want to say English, actually.
Really?
Not 100% sure.
The cats look at you and they're like, when you're saying like something, and they're like, what?
Well, no, it's funny you said that, because I think they have a lot of English speaking in Kuwait, but they also have their own language. I can't remember what it is. I apologize.
Arabic.
Oh,
right. Okay, so it's Arabic, but again, I think there's also a lot of English speaking. But yeah, Arabic is definitely probably the top language there. But,
hey Siri, how do you say treat in Arabic?
Amal.
There you go, Cubby. So when you want to say treat, you say, hey, kitty.
Amal.
That's it. I've helped you.
It's your lesson today in Arabic. Well, as you guys know, the world lost a hero, a legend, a champion of women, with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and just the outpouring of love coming from all over the world. She had all these amazing, inspiring quotes, but there was one to me that just stood out that was so cool, which she said, you can't have it all at once. Think about that.
See, that's deep. I want it all at once. I mean, literally, I want to try and do everything at once. That was sad. How old was she?
87. Yeah. And you know what? They showed some pictures of her from back in the day. She was kind of a piece. She was hot.
I don't know if you ever watched any of the documentaries or movies about her, but they're excellent. You should definitely. I think Heather probably would love them, Barnes.
RBG. What are you trying to say? While I'm watching Love Island, she's going to go watch a
yeah, while you're doing your reality thing.
I do love how she became really just almost like a pop culture figure, which is kind of appropriate for this show. But like, you know, Notorious RGB. And she just got like, she was cool. She was downright cool.
I saw her speak one time in college. She came.
Did?
Yeah. She came and spoke. So this would have been 89 or 90. She came and spoke at UT Austin. And it was in one of our classrooms that would hold, you know, 700 or 800 people. And you had to get a little ticket in advance to be able to be in there. It was actually kind of cool. It was really cool.
That's amazing that you got to see her. But again, if you ever want to see the movie, like Felicity Jones plays her in the movie, and it's awesome.
Yeah, a true icon lost for sure.
I spent my week on set shooting a show called Saints and Sinners. That was a good time. Absolutely coolest, nicest people. I don't know when it's going to come out, because I can already see you, Cubby. You're about, when can we see it?
Well, no, I was wondering if you had to do a COVID test, actually, because I know you're...
Yeah, what was production like?
It's my second COVID test. You have to go in a couple of days before you're scheduled to start shooting, and then you have to take it every, you know, however many days you're going to be there, and then you go out to the set, and they have a nurse, and they have the whole crew.
Wait, are you doing Q-tip, like the Q-tip up the nose, or are there other options now?
No, well, there are. The saliva test has been approved by both the, I think the FDA and the CDC. I get all my initials mixed up, but I believe both of those are approved as approved tests, but I think they're rapid tests. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on all the different types of tests, but I know the saliva test, like schools are using that. I think the NBA was using the saliva test, but this was the actual Q-tip. But do you ever watch Hard Knocks? On HBO?
I didn't watch this season, but normally I do.
This season was in LA, and they were going through, they had to go through testing like every day, and they had those bracelets on that would do the, what was it?
Oh, social distancing?
Not the distancing,
thing?
but where they could tell you contact tracing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had that on, the whole thing. And so these guys, these big 6'6", 300-pound dudes were like little pussies when they came up to put the, I mean, they're like asking all these questions, like, what are you going to do? How far are you going to go? And that, consciously, when I went to take it this time, I was like, I'm not going to ask anything. Because the first time I went, they did the brain like all the way up to in between your eyes.
Oh my God.
And your eyes water for about 15 minutes after and you feel like you're crying. This time, I think the new normal is they go just above your like open nostril area, so not way up, and they twist it for like 5 or 10 seconds. It wasn't a big deal.
That's
at all.
Not bad.
No, my eyes didn't.
And do you want to sneeze, like a sensation to sneeze after
the
that?
One they go up to your brain? Yeah, but not this one.
Wow.
It was quick and painless. And I'm negative again. Thank you.
So Barnes, this show's been on for like 4 or 5 seasons, right? Saints and Sinners.
Yeah, and I'm towards the middle end of this fifth season on a storyline they're introducing where J.D. Williams, so I had a scene with the main guy. He's awesome.
Wait. Is that the guy, J.D. Williams from The Wire?
Yes, from The Wire. He was one of the leads in The Wire. He's awesome. He was also on that show, Oz. Cubby, uh-huh. He's from Newark, New Jersey.
Wow. That is such a, that show was notorious.
But it was weird.
Where is Saints and Sinners as far as, where do I see it?
It's on Bounce, the Bounce Network. It was fun though. Nice people, and he's really good. The guy, The Wire. Everyone loved The Wire. Everyone from
it's
that
been
show.
On since 2016. I see.
Yeah, it's been on for a while. So that'll be coming. I'll let you know whenever I know when it's going to air. Have no idea.
Wait, I do have one more question. So you got tested, and how soon did you find out? Like, did you have to wait before you could? Oh, the next day. So you like hung out for a day in a hotel?
No, it was filmed here in Atlanta.
Oh, you stayed home. Okay.
Yeah, so I just went and got tested, came back, and then I will tell you though, guys, like being in your trailer sounds glamorous in Hollywood, but I will tell you that it is not in any
way. The waiting is the hardest part, right?
And not only that, this was, I think, the closest to jail that I will ever get. I was in they call it a honey wagon. So, you know, there's a hierarchy on a set. There's series regulars, there's recurring, and then there's guest stars, there's co-stars, then there's extras. So I was a guest star. And so I got what's considered a double. So like a double in the honey wagon, which sounds like a lot. That's like a 3x6 times two. So literally a couch that I couldn't lay down on, no internet. And I had to get on set at noon last week and didn't start my first scene till 9. So you want to talk about glamorous?
9 p.
Yeah.
That's not fun. What were you doing on your phone the whole time?
Well, I had one bar.
One bar
that's
and no Wi-Fi.
Thanks, T-Mobile. One bar, no Wi-Fi. And there were two flat screens in there. Neither one of them worked because we were so far outside of nowhere.
Did you get a deli tray?
Oh, well, now with COVID, that whole thing has changed. They bring
it's
you
done.
Your food to your dressing room. You don't go and like eat and go and get
you
all
can't.
Your... No, all of it's changed.
Yeah, it used to be like pasta for days, right? Just scoop
it's
it on
unreal.
The plate and keep going.
Yeah, now they walk around with hand sanitizers. They had that rum made in the rum distillery, so the hand sanitizer smelled like bourbon. Smelled like bourbon, so I was sniffing my hands the whole time. But everyone's running around with masks on. Then when you do the scene, you take the mask off. It's just, and there were 45 extras. They all had to get COVID tests. It was very strange.
Get money. Get paid. Welcome to Pop Quiz on the Pop Culture Show. Get one question about last week's show correct and win cash. Here we go.
Time to give away some money. Pop Quiz. Matt McClear is our contestant this week. Matt called the Pop Quiz hotline 404-939-3733 and just said, quiz me. And look at that. Here he is. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good.
Hey.
Hey, Matt, where are you right now, and how did you find out about our little pop culture podcast?
Right now, I'm in Las Vegas on the Strip in a hotel room, but I live in Palm Coast, Florida, and I actually grew up, not really grew up, I listened to Barnes and Leslie when I was in high school and college in Atlanta.
Oh, nice.
Thank you so much.
Why are you in Vegas?
Just to go, just for fun.
You're one of those people who are desperately seeking Corona.
Yeah.
That's us, yeah. That's
Barnes, you're not going to ask him where he's staying? Because, you know, you're the king of hotels in Vegas.
No, I'm not a Vegas guy. But I'll tell you that, you know, Ken Fuchs, who is living in my guest dungeon, he just got back from filming Shark Tank there. And he said that, like clockwork, on Friday, everyone loads in. And on Sunday, everyone loads out. And that it's just a freaking shit show. Is that true?
That's true. We came in Thursday. Thursday was dead. I'm like, this is fantastic. There's no one here. And then last night it was crazy.
See, it's, I don't get it.
Are people, like, Matt, are people on top of each other? I know they're not, but I mean, like slot machines. I'm used to seeing people side by side. Is it like a lot of slot machines not being used for social distance?
Yeah, the slot machines weren't that packed with people side by side. And the blackjack tables and the other tables, they're reducing the amount of people at the table, and they have plexiglass at the tables to separate you and the other players and the dealer. So you're not shoulder to shoulder like you normally would be in those situations. Now, on the sidewalk, that's a little different story, especially last night. But just walk around wearing your mask and, you know, try to keep your distance the best you can.
Are you married or single?
I am single.
Uh-huh. And how was that transaction over the weekend? Did you meet anybody special? Love Island style?
No, we didn't. No. We could be a little bit more safe.
Right. But you went to Vegas, so that tells me a little bit about your personality. I mean, you know, when you win in Rome, right?
Yeah. No, I get it.
Have you won any money?
I'm only down $80. So
dude.
It's not bad.
Well, you can go plus 20 right now on Pop Quiz.
Hello.
That's right.
How great is that? You have a weekend in Vegas. You're 80 down, and here you are on the Pop Culture Show, ready to win $100. Well, let's blow off that dust on the Venmo because we didn't use it last week, and let's see what you can do.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. You know the rules. You will have 10 seconds to answer, and we will then, after you answer, we will go back to last week's show and listen to see if you got it right. And I think this is an easy one, but, you know, you may think differently. When I say go, your timer will start, and you can answer inside that 10-second window anytime. Are you ready?
Okay.
Last week, our guest was a music business insider. His name was Eric Olson. He said of all the rock stars that he met, there was one that was hands down the worst. Who was it?
The worst. Oh. I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Think it through. Let's go back
Cubby
to last week.
Answer it.
Yeah, Cubby. No, wait. Did you know
wait,
that before,
you,
before we play last week's segment, do you know Cubby?
Here's the deal. I remember him saying it multiple times, and it was a name I never heard of.
Oh.
It was kind of a
Leslie?
Hard to say name, wasn't it, Leslie?
Do you know Leslie?
Was it? You want me to say?
No, don't say it.
Okay.
Here, don't say it. Let's listen and just see.
Well, most of my experiences were great. And most of the artists, I want to say 99% of them, were awesome. You know, there was one asshole, and that was probably Yngwie Malmsteen. I'll just throw it out there because she's never going to find me.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
That's right. I remember it was hard to say.
Matt, now you're down 80 real dollars and 100 virtual dollars.
Yes.
All right.
You know, I remember that name, or not the name, but him saying that, but I couldn't remember how to pronounce it. I just never heard of that name.
Well, Matt, it was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for playing Pop Quiz, and we really appreciate you listening to the Pop Culture Show.
Oh, no, I appreciate it, guys. This was fun.
All right, have a good flight home.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Matt. Have fun in Vegas.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to play, Leslie Fram's going to tell you how.
Please call the Pop Culture Show anytime, 404-939-3733, and just say, quiz me.
Guys, last Monday, please tell me you saw Dancing with the Stars only one person we really care about, Carol Baskin.
I did.
I just can't take it seriously.
Tyra Banks is getting just annihilated, just as we predicted.
Twitter is not her friend.
I don't know why they changed the hosts up. I mean, they were fine, I thought, but Tyra was terrible.
You didn't need somebody with that kind of attitude as a host on Dancing with the Stars, you know? I mean,
I agree.
You have all those personalities that they're bringing in. They don't need this, like, she looks like she's just pissed at the world.
I know. Is it because we know all about what she's like behind the scenes, maybe? Maybe we look at her with a different attitude? I don't know, but she does look always mad.
Leslie, wouldn't you, if you were going to host Dancing with the Stars and you were a person that had that kind of attitude, wouldn't you, your people say to you, hey, and you work with talent, so I'm asking you this, hey, let's go ahead and, like, you know, bring it up beat a little bit. Let's go away from your...
Yeah, it's called Know Your Audience.
Know Your Audience.
Mm-hmm. Know Your Audience. Yeah.
It's weird. I thought it was strange.
Outside of Tyra and people bashing her, Carol Baskin, of course, I was trying to figure out when she'll dance, and I'm like, she'll probably dance near the end. And I was right. I think she went on at 9:58. But she did terrible, by the way. She danced to Eye of the Tiger.
terrible.
She had a score of 11. She got 2 4s and a 3.
Well, but think about that. The song that she's dancing to, I know it's a gimmick, but how do you dance to that song with those staccato dun, 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 dun?
I know. I know. And she wasn't really doing anything. Her partner was doing all the work for her. But people are really talking about the family of Don Lewis, Carol Baskin's former husband, who went missing in 1997. They actually preempted Dancing with the Stars. Not really preempted, but
they bought an ad.
They bought an ad. That's right. A
Which
commercial.
Is crazy.
It only aired in Tampa and Jacksonville, Florida. And this commercial was requesting information about his disappearance. And actually, you laughed that they did a commercial, but apparently they got some leads.
They did?
It's up. Yeah, they got a handful of leads. They said they got well over 100 calls made to the tip line, and they've got legitimate tips. And some of them are just like saying, hey, I watched Tiger King and I think Carol Baskin did it. Kind of wasteful. But then there's some that gave specific tips and locations mentioned, and they're going to check it out. And it could lead to something. So this is just fascinating on so many levels, I think.
It is. And it looked like they filmed it on a BlackBerry.
Yeah. It was filmed, they said, on a very cheap camera.
I'm surprised that they would allow that on the network just because of the technical specs. But here's the ad. I have the ad. It's just right at a minute. But listen to it because the family gets in and then the lawyer talks. Have a listen.
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family. And to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
I'm Ann, Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
Or call our office at 800-LITIGATE. Thank you.
Man, they are after her ass.
And this homemade commercial was filmed on a Canon camera, which, you know, surprisingly, still looks bad.
Super sad for her kids and family. And, you know, and the fact that now she's even with her new husband trying to do another reality show about animal abuse.
I heard that's a go.
Right.
I heard that she's got some reality show that's going to be all about that.
Don't they think that her former husband is buried somewhere
yes.
on her land?
Or in a stomach and he's already been passed through. But why? Why are television networks all over this thing?
And attaching themselves to her. I know. I don't know.
I don't get it.
It really was Netflix's biggest hit of the year. And I don't know if it was because it was the very beginning of quarantine. Because to me, it reminds me, whenever I hear about Tiger King, I feel like it's April again. Because that's when I first started hearing about it. And we were home all the time. And people were like, you got to watch this documentary. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, what if he's still alive, actually? People, you know, they all think he's dead. What if he comes out on stage next week?
Yeah,
on Dancing.
Well, Cubby, you'll get to relive Tiger King all over again when Nicolas Cage comes out as Joe Exotic.
I know. He's playing that in a movie. Is that true? Is that official?
It's like an 8-part series on Amazon.
Right. I mean, he's perfect for it. I think with the right makeup, he'll be
perfect. Oh, let's dive into celebrity sleaze.
Fram, I have an update for you. I have some Hollywood inside for you. You talked about the reboot of Doogie Howser last week.
Yes.
And I have some insides in that world in L.A. who gave me a little information. It is going to be a girl. They have not cast it yet. You want to know the new name? And this is not out there anywhere.
Please.
And I'm not going to reveal my source. Because
Carol Baskin.
I don't want to get them in trouble. Dr. Carol Baskin. No, it's an interesting choice. This is from the casting directors out there. Dr. Lahela Kamealahoa is going to. I am not kidding you. This is the new Doogie Howser. That is the name.
Here's
the actual casting. They're looking for a female 12 to 17 to play a young 16, mixed Asian and or Polynesian and white Lahaila initially appears to be a typical 16-year-old girl working on getting her driver's license, hanging out with her family, and trying to get her almost boyfriend, Walter, alone for the first kiss. I think you should play Walter, Cubby. But Lahaila is leading a far from normal life. She is a child prodigy who has already graduated from college and headed to med school. So Dr. Lahaila Kamealahoa. Remember that one.
No one ever is going to get that right. Why would they do that?
I don't know, but that's it. That's what the new Doogie Howser is going to be. Because remember you said it was going to be in Hawaii. I don't know why this
You heard it here first on Pop Culture Show.
But who's...
We are first on a lot of shit.
But Doogie Howser, you can remember. Dr. Lahaila Kamealahoa? Okay, at some point...
Maybe she'll have a nickname.
I can already hear...
Maybe she'll...
Pop quiz next week. Pay attention. That might be a question because we're up to $150 now. Anyway, I'm going to, at some point during the
rest. Say her name again. Say her name one more time.
At some point in the rest of the show, I'm going to ask one of you her name and you're going to have to come up with it because I know you can't write it down right now. Dr. Lahaila Kamealahoa.
What a dirty hoa.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's your update. I'm a reporter for you, Fram.
I really appreciate that.
Of course.
You heard it here first. So, hey, here's a first. This is kind of cool. A pre-Emmy win for the first time ever, Eddie Murphy, for when he hosted SNL.
Hard to believe it's been that long.
By the way, the last time he hosted it was 35 years ago, but the last time he was nominated for an Emmy, 21 years ago, but he'd never won one before, which was kind of cool for Eddie Murphy.
That is awesome.
Yeah, not bad for 90 minutes of work, right? I mean, obviously he worked that whole week, but then he did SNL, but that's impressive. And that was a very funny episode when he hosted.
It was really funny. I think a lot of people thought maybe Brad Pitt would win because remember he played Dr. Fauci?
Yeah.
But people just miss Eddie Murphy. Let's face it.
Yeah, they do.
Speaking of SNL, we love when they have actors playing politicians. Obviously, Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump is hilarious. Maya Rudolph as Kamala Harris. But remember in the past for Joe Biden, it's always been Jason Sudeikis. Not anymore. Guess who's now going to play Joe Biden?
Who?
This is kind of big.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Oh, I did
Jim
see that.
Jim Carrey. Yep. Yeah.
Saw Don't you that. Think that's huge?
That is huge. I'm surprised that he's coming back to do something like that on network TV. He's a huge sketch guy. I mean, I was just surprised to see him coming there.
I've been watching old Living Color. It's been on one of the networks. It's so funny. Yeah. Yeah.
This is kind of a crazy celebrity story. Dr. Dre's estranged wife, Nicole Young, is filing a lawsuit claiming she co-owns the trademark to his name.
And that's going to get dirty.
That is
fast.
By the way, like, I always wonder about these celebrity marriages that end. They've been together 24 years.
She's going to get paid. I don't know about $2 million a month.
Yeah, she wants $2 million a month.
I heard that.
She claims that Dre secretly transferred valuable trademarks that they jointly owned.
Wow.
So this is going to be another one that's just going to get dragged to the mud.
Well, Bezos is doing okay after his divorce. Remember all that money he unloaded?
Oh.
And then it wasn't even like a dent.
He had to be protected in some way.
You know, Barnes, you were talking a minute ago about Saints and Sinners, and I think COVID is going to secretly start making its way to a lot of television. South Park is now going to air their COVID pandemic special September 30th. That should be interesting.
I heard The Resident's doing the same thing. There's a couple of shows that are all putting these, or either The Resident or Grey's Anatomy will have some sort of COVID. I mean, it's part of society now.
It is. You can't deny it or ignore it. How about Paul Rudd? Did you hear the PSA he did about wearing a mask?
I have it for you.
It went viral.
It's so funny. I cut all the visual stuff out because, and it still makes it funny. Here, listen to him.
Paul Rudd here, actor and certified young person. Get this. Apparently a lot of COVID is transmitted by us millennials. So fam, let's real talk. Masks? They're totally beast. So slide that into your DMs and Twitch it. Vibe check. Yes, queens like ourselves. We want to go to bars. We want to drink, hook up, do our TikToks. I get it. I'm not going to preach at you like some celebrity. Ugh. This is a combo where I talk and you shut up and wear your mask. Hello? Oh, hi, Billie Eilish. What's that? You're wearing your mask? Man, I want to stan you. You're so my bae. Yo, listen, hype beasts. Masks protect you and your dank squad because caring about other people is the new not caring about other people. Please wear your mask. Just wear a mask. Just wear a mask. It's easy. It's simple. Please. It's not hard. People are dying. Hundreds of thousands of people are dying, and it's preventable. It's preventable. Just wear a mask. I shouldn't have to make it fun. It's science. It's science.
He gets mad at the end. Like that whole last bit.
Totally got
he
mad.
He comes out of character, and it's pretty funny ripping on millennials, but it's pretty true.
I like it.
So every week I have to talk about Netflix, right? And they're now, of course, getting one of the biggest true crime documentaries. It's called American Murder, The Family Next Door. And this is about Shannon Watts and her two young daughters that went missing in Colorado. And then, of course, you know, the husband may have done it, Chris Watts. So that's coming to Netflix. And has anybody on this show been watching The Social Dilemma on Netflix?
Social Proof?
Yeah.
Wait, is it called Social Dilemma or Social Proof? I forgot. I started watching it. I'm about halfway through.
I thought it was called The Social Dilemma, and I am so intrigued.
It is The Social Dilemma. And it's all the people from Twitter, Instagram, Google, basically giving out the inside baseball about how this is all geared to basically make you, you know, a mind F. I mean, it's geared to screw with your mental health.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be my next thing on that I watch on Netflix.
Everyone is talking about it.
Is it about, like, if you watch too much of these, if you're on these apps too much, it can mess with you?
It's about how programmatically, Cubby, they're making these apps to be addictive, and also privacy issues and things like that. It's about all of it. Mental health and social media. Definitely you should check it out.
Hey, were you guys fans of Dr. Melfi on The Sopranos?
Actually, I was. She was kind of hot. Yeah.
Everyone loved Melfi.
A little sexual tension, you know, on that show with her. And
Cubby, didn't you date somebody on The Sopranos?
No, I mean, she was my friend.
Oh, I couldn't
Jamie
remember.
Lynn Sigler. Meadow Soprano was a friend of mine.
Well, yeah. I guess Lorraine Bracco is now going to be on HGTV's My Big Italian Adventure. That's right. She is apparently remodeling a 1,000-square-foot home that she bought in Sicily. By the way, she bought it for €1, but that'll be kind of cool. I'd like to just see her in a different light. Now, okay, I think this is a misstep here. What do you guys think? Martha Stewart now has her own line of CBD products.
She's legendary for smoking weed with Snoop.
Well, this is the thing. The misstep is, why didn't she do this with Snoop? It would have been legendary.
I guess she wanted to get her own pay.
Yeah, exactly. But what a smart move. Businesswoman right there.
Now, Lori Loughlin and her husband are getting ready to go to jail. Let's not call it prison, though. Have you heard about this?
It's everything we thought it would be. It's a country club.
It is a total country club. It's probably going to be the, I guess they're calling this a gated community. They offer yoga, Pilates, origami, cooking classes. I mean, seriously, she could also get saxophone lessons.
It'll be better than my trailer.
I was gonna say that.
I guarantee you she's going to have internet and a breeze.
What a joke. I'm really sorry to tell you this because I know you're going to be heartbroken, but what? Survivor may not return until the fall of 2021.
Are
you going to be okay, Barnes?
No. That's like part of my life. Big Brother and Survivor. Come on. Why?
Well, because most of it's been shot in Fiji and they've shut down the borders to non-citizens.
That's right. So I think they already started, and so they wouldn't let them back or something. That sucks.
I'm guessing Love Island was recorded a long time ago.
Love Island was supposed to be in Fiji, but it's happening right now in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay, and they're in a bubble and all that?
Yeah, they were in a bubble, and they're on a rooftop. They converted a bar, and the whole rooftop became the island. So this bar became where they all live.
Ah.
Gotcha.
It's actually cool. You should watch it.
In music news, the Academy of Country Music Awards were this past week, and guess who made it onto the Opry stage? Taylor Swift doing a really cool stripped down version of Betty, just her and her guitar on the legendary Opry stage.
She did it naked at the Opry. Isn't that kind of disrespectful?
Not naked. Stripped
down. You said she was stripped
down. Acoustic, baby. Oh. Power acoustic.
Watching the ACMs for you is like watching the Super Bowl, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and we're in the middle of working on the CMT Music Awards, so we're going to be next.
Right. When is that, by the way? Do you know?
October 21st.
Let me write down which day you have the Taylor Swift taping for us. What day is that set up again?
Yeah, you have a direct connection. Come on,
she's
hook us up.
She's the queen of country.
Tell her I got cats for her.
You do have. You have many. You have multiple cats.
Cubby.
I've got Kuwait cats for Taylor.
Cubby, Leslie Fram runs talent. You think she has a line to get Taylor Swift?
I have a funny feeling she does.
And do you think she's going to ask? Taylor's preoccupied right now. No. She's in folklore land.
Taylor!
In other music news, Madonna announces she'll direct and co-write her own biopic.
Hey,
that'll be
surprise.
One-sided.
Control it.
Hello.
Can you name one Madonna movie that actually did well? I mean, they remember Swept Away?
No.
And then that's right.
There was another one she did, I think like Shanghai something.
Shanghai, yeah, I remember that. Nope.
But a lot of her movies don't do well.
Finally, guess what broke the internet? And I was all over this because I was texting Barnes. Did you happen to see the table read for Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
So cool.
I did, and I loved it.
Unbelievable. You know, Dane Cook was involved. It was for his Feeling Alive charity, and also Sean Penn with his Core charity. But the amount of celebrities, come on.
That was the biggest star power Zoom I've ever seen.
It was great. It was great. I like, you know, Morgan Freeman cracked me up every time he was reading his lines. He actually didn't know what he was saying sometimes. He'd be like, whoa.
Julia Roberts, Matthew McConaughey, Ray Liotta, John Legend, and of course, very sexy exchange between Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt.
I have that for you right here. Can you imagine if you had people that set up your Zooms? Because they all look like they were on The Lot. Like with perfect lighting and the whole thing. And they're just on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
I mean, it was sheer perfection. But here, listen, see if you can pick the voices out in this. Who's all on screen here? It's Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, Dane Cook, Sean Penn.
Shia LaBeouf, Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts, all on one screen. And listen to the little flirt that goes down about 30 seconds in between Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt.
Sean, what's up, man? Good to see you. Ray, how are you?
Hi, everyone.
Good to see you. Henry, pleasure.
What's up?
Mr. Morgan Freeman, hi, I'm Dane. Nice to see you. Hi, Jennifer.
She's waving.
Hi, everyone. Hi, JR.
I'm so happy to see your face.
I know, it's so nice to see all these friends here. How beautiful.
Who that?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Aniston.
Hi, Pitt.
How you doing?
Good, honey. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
None of you guys have gotten a haircut.
COVID.
Well, I see Matthew McConaughey, so that is a good sign.
There he is.
Aloha.
Howdy, y'all.
Hey.
Have we pulled this off?
Hi, Dane.
Hey, what's up, Chrissy?
I'm doing a table read.
Well, what the fuck?
You'll see Jen Aniston here.
Holy shit.
Morgan
Hi,
Freeman.
Hi.
Jimmy Kimmel. Sean Penn, Julia Roberts, Henry Golding, wow. Ray Liotta, Brad Pitt, Matthew McConaughey,
wow.
And Shia LaBeouf.
Hi. Sorry.
That was John Legend. Chrissy Teigen walked in, and man, that was just unbelievable.
The crazy thing, too, though, is one of the script reads is that Jennifer Aniston read that one part, that kind of that horny part of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where she's talking about, I think you're so sexy. Will you come to me? And I'm like, of all people, they had Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt do that scene.
Pretty funny.
Do you think, I got an honest question. Do you think they were paid or did they do it for fun?
No, it was a charity thing. They didn't get paid.
Oh, charity, okay.
But again, unbelievable. And of course, people went nuclear again because of Brad and Jen again, together again.
Thank you for that sleaze, Leslie Fram.
Thank you.
If you are an iPhone user, you tuned in at the beginning and you heard Cubby give away one of my secret new features for the iPhone. I don't know if you heard the big announcement this week, but there's a lot of new I stuff. There's the new Apple Watch that's got some more health stuff added to it. I believe they're on 6 now. A new iPad Air, a bunch of different colors. They've got a cheaper watch, the SE. And then they're doing an interesting thing with these bundles. Now they're coming at it hardcore because Wall Street kind of always wanted them to do this, but they have finally done it, is put everything together really inexpensively. So you can get like, they've got the new, they're going after Peloton with those classes. Mm-hmm. So like now they have these fitness classes where you can just get on your watch or get on, you know, your whatever device and do these classes. And all like the Apple News and the music and TV, all bundled for, and the drive and the games. For pretty inexpensively. But the big thing this week was iOS 14. Cubby, you said you did update, right?
I did the update, and I found that one cool feature that you have to go through a few steps to get to, but I like
a lot. It's not hard, though. So just a couple of the highlights. Widgets, which, Leslie, I know you Android people, all five of you, you've had that for a while.
Yes, we have.
Yeah,
thank
widgets,
you.
Which, you know, widgets are just, they're all
Come
right.
Come on.
There aren't a lot yet to choose from. I thought, like, I put weather on there, and it just puts, you know, puts a little bit bigger of a weather on on your phone, but it's supposed to be sending kind of live information in there, but it's nothing sexy. The smart stacks are interesting, which is just a bunch of those big widgets. They've really changed how you organize all the things on your screen. And to be honest, if you're not a gearhead or a tech freak or a gadget freak, you might have to go read some articles to figure out how to use some of them. The new app library, Cubby, did you get into that?
What is that?
Where you can scroll quickly through all your pages?
You go to the very last page, Leslie, and then you see a bunch of big kind of app compartments. Wow. So, Cubby, if you scroll all the way to the right,
they just put them together for you?
Yeah.
Oh, they do them for you.
It kind of auto-bundles. So if you want to clean up your home screen, you can hard-press on an app and send it to the app library.
Leslie, we do that on Android.
I know. Android has had it.
Do you know the thing about the... all those dots at the bottom of your screen, you can scroll through all your pages quicker?
Yes. I thought that was kind of weird because it took up a whole row. It took up a lot of space on the phone.
Right.
A couple of the ones that I like, Pinned Conversations is pretty cool, where you can now, at the top of your text, if you swipe to the right, you can pin. Like, you'll see I've got Heather pinned to the top of this. You can just swipe and say pin. It puts their little picture at the very top. And any conversations they send you, they just kind of pop in at the very top. So you see the little, almost a little preview bubble that pops in. You can search emojis now. You can do picture.
Cool.
I guess, because I don't like to swipe through all those screens trying to find a turd, you know?
But couldn't you all, but wait, when you used to send a text to somebody, if I typed in, man, it's sunny today, usually a special thing will happen
sometimes
over the word sun, indicating that there's an emoji for
sometimes. It. Sometimes. I don't think that always works. Because I was getting hit or miss with that. Sometimes it shows
up. Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to try to text you right now. How do I find an emoji if I'm in the text screen here?
Probably you go to the emoji screen, and I bet you there's a little search when you go in and you tap emojis.
Oh, you can search emoji. You can search emoji. If I type in poop, there's the turd in the toilet.
Yeah, and that's on my frequently used page anyway. Picture in picture. Now you can keep videos on top of what you're doing, kind of like the iPad already does. Here's a cool one, FaceTime eye contact. They're using machine learning. You know how when, you know, even on like on the show, because we're using webcams, you have to look right into the camera to get the perception that you're looking in the camera. So on your phone, if you switch on this feature and you're looking at the person, you're not really looking at the camera, they're doing a machine learning tilt where it looks like you are looking in the camera. That's pretty interesting. You just go to settings, FaceTime, and then turn on eye contact. So it will look like you're looking in the camera versus looking at your screen. With everyone doing,
you know, a feature I like?
What?
When you text me, it's the delete feature. I use it quite often.
That's one of your favorites.
Do you have Bitmojis of yourself?
No, I don't do Bitmojis.
Oh, come on.
Three more. There's a green dot.
Oh, wait, hang on. Look at Leslie's Bitmojis.
I don't understand why you wouldn't have one, Barnes.
She's always so busy, but she has time to make those. just saying.
I got 18 Zoom calls today,
yeah,
man.
I know. I don't know if you'll notice on your phone, Cubby, if you've seen up in the top next to the bars, there's a little orange dot or a green dot when you're on an active call. And what that's telling, I thought it was something wrong with my screen. It's telling you if your camera is active or not. So some people who are freaked out about their camera being on, it'll be an orange dot if it's not, and a green dot, even on a phone call.
I did notice that, and I was going to Google it and then forgot. But I was talking to my mom the other day, actually yesterday, and I noticed that little orange dot.
And then privacy, another thing with privacy along with that dot is you can now turn on in the locations for an app to only get your approximate location and not your exact location.
Ah.
A lot of people are excited about that. So if you're concerned about privacy, especially with certain apps that are tracking you, you can go on in the locations and actually go to that specific app and you can turn on a little toggle to tell it, just say, hey, generally where I am. And the last one is the secret feature that I know you heard from Cubby a good 40 minutes ago or whatever. It's called Backtap. And Backtap, you can go in and find it. You can tap twice on the back, even with a case on. That's the biggest question I get. Can you do it with a case? You tap twice, and you can tell it to do certain things. So I have it set to take a screenshot. And then you can tap three times, tap, 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 just on the whole back. See, look, Leslie, I'm going to tap, watch. And then watch the phone. It's going to take, it takes a screenshot.
But you have to tell everybody how to set that up, though. It doesn't just do it.
No, it doesn't just do it. You have to go into accessibility and then go into touch. And then at the very bottom, turn on back tap, and you'll see the two options for two tap and for three tap.
All right, I'm sure you've heard about you can win this trip to Four Seasons, and we have a secret code for you. And normally you do the secret code, Barnes.
Oh, we share it around. Four Seasons Punta Mita. Not just Four Seasons. One of the most legendary Four Seasons in Mexico.
Punta Mita.
That is Sister Hazel, and our next guest is the velvet throat that belts out those hooks. What's going on, Ken Block?
I'm doing great, Barnes. How are all you guys doing?
We're doing fabulous.
Great.
It's so great to see you guys, man.
I feel like, and we're doing video as well, so if you want to check out the video, just go to one of our social pages. Seeing you on the webcam reminds me of all of your airline pictures that you put up.
Oh yeah, they're kind of like kinda like that.
Where your eyes are like, barely.
There he is, all over the country. Yeah, listen, man. I thought there'd be a little more reverence from you guys because honestly, I don't know if you remember this, but for a very long time, I was the reigning fish quiz champ.
I don't remember
That's
that.
That's right.
I was the reigning fish quiz champ, and I did like 18 fish in 30 seconds or something.
Cubby, we used to do a bit on our show where we had the fish quiz. We put 10 seconds on the clock, and they had 10 seconds to name as many fish as they could.
I got like 17.
Well, you know, funny you should mention that because the best part about it is when you don't know when something's coming and you have to do it, you have 10 seconds, Ken. Fish quiz, go.
Grouper, mullet, bass, brim, carp, shark, ray. Bluefish, whale.
Oh, eight. You got eight.
But wait a minute. How do we know if he's even right, though? You could be throwing out a couple that we don't even know.
Because you get clever points. If you don't get it right, it's just.
But do we know if he was the reigning champ?
No. Coolio was like the champ for a really long time. I don't know if that was before you or after you.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say definitely.
But you still get
me.
Mad respect.
My wife actually got me a fish ornament. So every year. Put it on the tree, and I get to relive the glory days of being the fish quiz champ.
You've had
that's amazing.
You've had glory years. Sister Hazel has been a fixture for so long, and I say that in a good way. Your voice is just made for the radio. I mean, it just is the perfect range. It fires through, and it's. I was just listening to. I put my Spotify on Sister Hazel and just let it roll, and so much great music.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It means a lot coming from you. And, you know, I don't know how to classify our band. I let that always be left up to other people. I will say I remember early on, 99X started playing All For You. And I remember Brian Phillips at that time saying, that guy's voice could probably work better on country
really?
Radio. Back then. And I thought, at that time, I was like, really? Maybe he's right.
And that Brian Phillips went on to be the president of CMT.
So he knew,
a few things, yeah.
And Ken, I want to ask you, I worked at Z100 in New York City, the biggest pop radio station. And when you crossed over to pop, were you surprised about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were just kind of, we had a fingerprint, right? It's like these big kind of harmony. Look, it's like Simon and Garfunkel harmonies meet Southern rock slide guitars with kind of edgy stuff sometimes and folky stuff sometimes, but never pop. That never, right. You know, that wasn't anything in our minds ever. So that's, you know, for 30 years now, I've been saying, I don't know what we are. I'll let smarter people than us figure that out.
Did that ever wag the dog? Did it ever go where all of a sudden someone says something and then you go down a country path and do you stay on that path or do you jump around?
Well, I think for us, we try to follow the song, right? So you write a song and you bring it in and you go, what is the song asking to be? You know, sometimes you'll write something and go, man, this thing's got to be a little edgier, a little, you know, got a little more energy to it or distortion. And sometimes you're like, I want this to feel, more storyteller-like. And we just, you know, we defer to the songwriter within the band, but we let everybody get their fingerprint on it. So that we all have ownership, and you know, everybody feels a part of the end product, and that really feels good.
What is the magic then? Because for Sister Hazel, to honestly be this successful after 30 years? Because there's always dynamics within a band. That's why bands break up. What is the magic of longevity for you guys?
Because
you have had such a successful run.
Yes.
And you guys seem to really like each other.
Yeah, we do. We're very sibling-like.
Unlike us. I mean, Cubby and Leslie, this is the 1 hour a week that we just chagrin and bear.
That's why stand
you
each
have
other.
To be in different places all the time, right? Look how far they had to separate you guys.
Cubby laughs, but inside he's going, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
Are you kidding me? No, this is a great crew we got here,
just
man.
Kidding. But no. But back to your question. How do you guys keep that going?
A couple things. We made it through the point where bands tend to implode or explode, you know, going from a van and trailer for years to having a big record and buses and a platinum record and photo shoots and TV and radio and all that. And everybody's kind of jockeying for a position. That was kind of hard, especially Drew and I. We've got kind of the biggest personalities in the band. And we had a couple years there where it was challenging, including the Fortress time making that record. But we got through that, and we all realized that we share kind of a moral compass. We have an ability to make our different musical tastes work and respect each other and trust each other, that Sister Hazel is the mothership, and that we're all, that's the, you know, our families come first, all of us, and then the band is the mothership, and we all serve that means to an end. And at the end of the day, when you're on a bus for, you know, 100, 200 days a year, you got to have a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, you know, we rag each other endlessly. And that's kind of what guys do, you know. We laugh, belly laughs every day on the bus.
If you guys were to have a disagreement, though, professionally, what would you argue about? Was it like too many tracks and which one to pick for the album or album title? Like
it used to be that. But that's where it started with. Are we going to have a tambourine in the pre-chorus and the chorus or just the chorus, you know, and set lists and just everything. And now if we're not going to worry about it in 6 months, never mind 6 weeks, 6 hours, 6 minutes from now, we just let it go. You know, check your ego at the door and realize if this now we also have to go when you feel really strongly about something, you got to say, hey, look, this is something I really feel passionate about. And then usually we'll defer. If someone's got that much fire, but checking your ego at the door is imperative.
And who wrote All For You?
I did. I wrote All For You 7 years before it got on the radio.
Wow.
Because I would wonder in a band, like if Leslie and Cubby and I had a band and All For You was our song and I wrote it would be hard deep down to go, I wrote the hit that really propelled our career. And I'm sure that I'm being serious. I'm sure that bands all the time go through that.
Oh, we went through that for sure. And you know, I think as we've been a band for longer and we've seen how different people cut that up different ways and do different things. But basically, we are a 5-man democracy. We are 5-man. We put songwriters. We try to write down on the record who the main songwriter is so people know. But we, you know, we split things up equally. And that wasn't always easy at first because I wrote every song on the first couple records except for one on the first and, you know, three maybe on the second. That was a bit of a challenge for me. But I think looking back, it's one of the things that allowed us to stay a band.
Did it ever piss you off when people confused you guys with Blues Traveler when you first came out? Because we would play All For You on the radio, and they'd be like, "Can you play that new Blues Traveler song?"
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Well, it's worse when I get mistaken for Popper. That really, I'm like, man, I don't play the harmonica. No, you know, it was because, like I said, I actually wrote that song, you know, 6.5, 7 years before it got on the radio. And then it got on, and I heard it too. I heard the it was right around when All For You came out, and I heard Blues Traveler, and I go, oh man, that sounds, I heard it. It's not like I don't hear it, but, and you can actually go back and All For You is on our original white record, a couple years earlier acoustically. So, you know, it was out before that, but yeah, it's kind of a bummer, you know?
Well, I mean, you clearly cut a path after that, but in the very, very beginning, that whole sound was like owned by one band, but then you guys kind of took over after that.
Well, it was, look, at the end of the day, we're lucky that that song. I mean, that song paved the way for a lot of stuff for us. It's such a gift. You know, people go, don't you get tired of playing that song? And I'm like, you know, I don't really get off on it musically anymore, but to have a song that this far after it came out, be able to play it anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world,
man,
and have people light up. What a gift.
I would play that flipping song on a boombox on the way to my mailbox to pick up my check and be like, right. I love that song.
Try to get an upgrade on Delta. I'm like, hard to say.
Yeah. I would just sing it to the mailbox as loud as I could. Who do you get? Who do people think you are in public if they maybe recognize you from television or from years of gigs? Who have you gotten that they think you, because you're bald with glasses, you could be Moby, you could be, I mean, you could be all kinds of people.
Yeah, I've gotten Moby before. I got the gay friend on Sex and the City, Stanford, or was his name?
I don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about.
A lot of times they'll say, you look like the guy from Sister Hazel. And I'm like, I am, you know.
What about Billy Corgan?
Crazy.
You get Billy Corgan?
I've never gotten Billy Corgan. But I will say this. This is hilarious to me. At shows, I'll come out, and any bald guy, especially if he has glasses, goes, everybody says we look exactly alike. It could be like an Asian guy. Or
just because you're bald.
Glasses. Right, we're bald glasses. People think we're twins. And I'm like, okay, and we'll take pictures. And
classic.
It's bizarre, man.
So true story. My husband has this Sister Hazel T-shirt. It's his favorite T-shirt. But yes, every time we go out and he has that on, people stop him like, "Oh my God, are you a Sister Hazel fan? Oh my God, I love Sister Hazel." Anywhere we go, it happens endlessly. Have you ever been surprised by someone that you found out was like a big Sister Hazel fan, like a celebrity or another person in a band?
Sure. Someone recently told us that Mary Steenburgen. You know who I mean?
Yeah.
Talking about?
Yeah, she's a songwriter. She writes songs too.
She's a big songwriter. I will say the best for me was Taylor Swift when she, this was probably 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe. She used to write lyrics down her arm to songs that she liked during her encore. She would come back out. And in Chicago, she came out with If You Want to Be Somebody Else, Change Your Mind.
Wow.
And I was like, that was cool moment with my kids. That was wow. But for me too, I mean, I'm a huge fan of her songwriting and the way she's handled her life through the, you know, microscope. But that was pretty cool, right?
That's huge. Cool.
Yeah.
One of the things that I appreciate about you is your entrepreneurial spirit. And
thank you.
You know, early in the game, I remember Hootie and the Blowfish putting together, you know, 401ks for each of the band members, health insurance for the band members.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to this, but it seems like something you guys probably did.
100%. Yeah, we tried to make ourselves, whether or not the majors came, to take it to the next level, we're going to control everything that we could control, right?
So great.
You know, it starts with writing songs you're proud of, putting on live shows where, you know, people feel like it's money well spent. You go out and at that time you get people's phone numbers and call them in the cities you go to, sleep on their couches. But, you know, we built this merch stand that went up every night, no matter where we were. You know, T-shirt made you look for real back then. So we had this merch stand. We bought a van together, which again, we bought a van, and then we moved to a 1963 Silver Eagle that we bought together. That was a piece of junk. That's another story. The first time we all committed, we all got a salary of $122 a week.
Wow.
That was basically what we could get paid after we paid for gas, hotel room that we all shared. We made it real. Then we got to where we got insurance together. Then we got where we had one cell phone that we all shared on the road.
The real big one with the big battery you had to carry.
It was big. And it was like you can't, you know, your 6 seconds are up.
Right. You're roaming.
You're roaming, man. You're killing us.
1-800 Hazelnut. And everyone would just run to the phone.
It was crazy. But, you know, we had the merch thing that we put in the, right in the CD where people could go and get, like, I think Dave Matthews was the only other one kind of doing stuff like that at the time. But, we made it real and we got record stores, consignment stores to take somewhere more familiar. We got about six radio stations, Rick Schmidt down in Florida and over in Charleston, Atlanta, that took a chance with All For You. And all of a sudden, all these labels started looking, and they're like, who's this band taking up one of our spots? And, you know, it was us, and that record just reacted like that. So,
who was the person that sat down and came up with the idea for all of your experiences, including Rock Boat?
Yeah. I'd have to say collectively, the five of us, and Andy Levine, who you guys know.
Yes.
And Andy was our college buddy. I got him his first job booking bands at a local club down here. He hired a heavy metal band I was in to play one of his frat parties. So we'd known each other. And when I put this band together, I said, Andy, let's do this. And so for a decade, the reason that company's called Six Man is he was the sixth man of the band.
Right.
And so we all grew up together. And, you know, he had talked to a travel agent. Mark had actually worked on, our drummer had worked on cruise ships at a different time. And, you know, everyone claims to be the idea guy behind the Rock Boat, but it was a collective effort. And we had the Rock Boat going on 21 years.
But then you started doing like Offspring of it. You guys had to make a fortune on that.
Well, you know, look, you've got to, it's about, you know, it's not selling records isn't going to necessarily do it.
Hey, I wish
days.
I would have thought of it. If you would have taken that to Shark Tank, I bet you would have got a deal back then.
That would have been fantastic, because that was part of the problem at first is getting capital to charter a ship.
What does that cost? Right? When you call up whoever and go, I need a ship.
You know, back then, I think it was $1.5 million or something like that. And, and you know, that's a lot. We had done it the first time where we took, I think, half the boat, and we walked off and went, we're on to something here.
Wow.
And
do you know how many cruises you actually have done? Because you said it's going on over 20 years. Like, how many personally did you do as a band?
We've done all 20 of those. We went out and did the Skynyrd cruise a couple times. They asked us to go on that. Andrew and I went on the Kayama, which is, you know, the singer-songwriter one. And that's been one of the things about this band that's been really fun for us. And you were talking about genres and stuff. I mean, how many bands can say, you know, we opened for Foo Fighters at Midtown in Atlanta. We've played with the Indigo Girls. We've toured with the Allman Brothers.
B-52s, right?
Right. We did. We played the Opry now 5 times. It's just the diversity that we've been able to have in our careers. Just it's so
unheard
fun.
Of for the fact that you can transcend all those different sounds. It's incredible.
And it for some way it works.
What about coronavirus? It shuts down both of your major income sources, Sister Hazel on the road and all that, and Rock Boats, the different boats.
So the Rock Boat, we finally made an executive decision, a responsible decision, I would say, to back it up from this January to next November. In the meantime, if things get better, we'll probably do a land event of some kind to keep the community happy, connected, and all those things. So that got pushed.
Corona's advertising again, by the way. They'd be an excellent Rock Boat. If you're just going to go for it, go for it.
Yeah, come on. Right. Yeah. Get rid of one Corona, bring on another.
Yeah, brought to you by Corona.
The good Corona.
Yes.
We were doing one of those events that you just talked about. We rented this house that slept 40 people out in Tahoe, and we brought in two groups of fans. Two groups of 30 something for one half of the week, another half 30 something. So 64 fans came and lived with us for about three or four days each. We cooked for them. We all went skiing together. We played. Wow. And it was great. And that's when the shutdown came. They shut the slopes down on the last day of that. They were shutting the airports. And that was the last time we've been together as a band completely. So
be honest. Is there ever that one fan that you get in one of these houses and you're like, oh, shit.
He's not going to say.
I would say that there are some that are a little more engaging than others. And some are a little less engaging.
Gotcha.
Than others.
Hey, didn't you guys put out, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you put out a Christmas album like 13 years, like 2007, I think?
we didn't only put out a Christmas album, we put out the best Christmas album ever made. It's called Santa's Playlist.
Yes, it was great.
And, yeah, thank you, man. It was so diverse. One of the things, talk about being in a band, right? We all got up to three songs that we could bring in for that, right? Either an old cover or you wrote a song. All of us got three songs. We each produced those songs. And again, it was so we all had investment in that record, and it evolved for us and gave us, you know, new ways to do things.
You got to do it again.
So check it out. I know it's early, but check out that.
We're
that
like
Christmas
under 100 days cool. to Christmas.
Well, come there on. You go.
Well, this big anniversary for Fortress is coming up, 20 years, and the band is what? What are you, 28 years, 27 years?
Let's say 25, 26. Yeah.
And this concert will be September 25th, 2020. I say that because some people are going to tune in after that and go, I missed it. 8 p.m. Right. Eastern. How do you get into it? Is it going to be a live stream or what's happening?
Yeah. It's a live stream. Go to our website. You'll be able to find links through there, sisterhazel.com. Or Facebook page, there's links through there. It'll be up for 30 days after that.
Oh, nice.
Because, you know, if you're in England and it's 2 a.m, or even California where it's just 3 hours, you know, some people just can't show up at that. So we're going to leave it up for 30 days. We're going to play the record live, broken into sections with little video clips in between a few songs, telling some stories from that record experience. And then we'll encore with a few of the hits from other records.
Very cool. So just go to sisterhazel.com to find out more.
So Ken, are you an empty nester now, or do you still have kids living at home?
No, I still have, my son went to college two years ago now. And, that's wrong. A year and a half ago. He's up at FSU, which breaks my heart because I'm such a Gator fan. But he was like, Dad, I don't want to really go, but I want to go a little bit, you know? He's having a good experience up there. My oldest daughter is a senior in high school, and my youngest daughter is a freshman in high school.
Do they ever turn you on to acts they're listening to on Spotify or Apple Music?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like who?
Well, one a couple years back, I hadn't listened much to them, but Fall Out Boy, my daughter got into Fall Out Boy, and she played me a song called The Phoenix. And it's like the most rockin', like anthemic. You want to be on a horse, yeah. Like riding really fast, charging into battle.
All of their stuff is.
Yeah, all of it is. And, you know, they all love Taylor. So I'm always listening to, you know, my son texted me last night, watch her, you're missing Luke. And Taylor's going to be on in a minute.
Oh,
and
on the ACMs, yeah.
On the ACMs. And, my daughters, you know, I get to hear all the Hamilton stuff and break it down. And they do. They teach me a lot. Keep me in the loop with some of that stuff.
It's too bad you guys aren't very active on social media. I would tell people to follow you. Now you're probably the most active band on social media. Thanks, that I've ever heard. And you treat your fans like royalty, which has got to be, you know, just a big piece besides your talent. I mean, the way you guys treat your fans and have them included in everything, it's a little much for me. But
I get it. Even within the band, some of us are better at it than others.
Yeah.
But there's a deep appreciation for how long, how dedicated, how honest they are with us. I mean, people within the community have donated kidneys to each other and, you know, just insane stuff. There's Hazel babies running around. There's just all kinds of crazy stuff. But
it is close to a cult. Hazelnut Nation. It's borderline.
It's a little bit hazel like, babies. Come on.
They're like parrot heads, but, you know, maybe slightly more sober. I don't know. it's been a remarkable ride. And I've always been an experience guy, not a things guy. I would rather have that memory and that connection with people than, you know, the next boat I want to get or whatever. That doesn't fuel me. So creating this fertile ground where people can connect at that deeper level, you know, that's unification, Sister Hazel style. You know, and by the way, you know, Sister Hazel, our namesake, who just passed away a couple years ago in 91, she was a black female minister who, regardless of race, religion, age, orientation, education, if you were down on your back, needed a place to dust off and regroup, she was there for you. And for me, it was in that spirit of unconditional regard for everybody that that name meant something to me. So
I never knew that. That's so cool.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know. That's pretty amazing. Cool, right? Yes.
Pretty cool. And so look, to play a role in getting people of all stripes together around a common love, and to see that we cross over. There's a lot of crossover in us folks, and to be able to facilitate that. You know, one of the things within the band is that we aren't all the same politically, especially Drew and I are kind of at opposite ends, and we aren't always the same with our spiritual or religious beliefs. And so we kind of have a rule that we don't talk specifically endorsing something or coming down on something. That's been very hard for us sometimes that want to jump in. But I think at the end of the day for us, you kind of figure out where personal, individually we lie. And I don't want to alienate anyone because of anything. I want us to be able to all keep coming together and find that common ground.
Well, you prove it.
And to make it work. Thanks, man. To make it work.
That's amazing.
For, you know, as many years as we have. But it should be helpful to people to go, look, those are five guys that think differently, speak differently about things. But in this time, they've managed to run a successful business, create together, live together in tight quarters, take care of philanthropic things together, treat people a certain way, and solve problems together, even though we all come at it differently. And the best product has come out of the fact that there's that push and pull.
That's inspiring.
Nice to be inspirational, yeah. Leslie. Thank you.
Yeah, your music is incredible. You're such a great family guy and a funny guy. I enjoy following you on social media. It's a blast.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it, Barnes.
Absolutely.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see
great
you.
To catch
I'm
up.
So glad this show is back and just as relevant in every way.
Well,
today.
I don't know about that.
It fits in as even better because there's a maturity to it. Not a good maturity.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. Never. We're very childish. But, thank you for pointing that out.
Praise.
All right.
So, good to see you guys too. Still Lanny, I said hey.
I will. And, it's great to see you, Ken. See
one
you
more time. Too. Live show, Fortress 20th anniversary. It's September 25th, 2020, 8 p.m. Eastern. Go to sisterhazel.com. Ken Block, good to see you. Sure. Goodbye.
Take care, guys.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. The Pop Culture Show is weekly. We drop every Monday at 10 a.m. Next week from Love Island, our guest is the narrator, funny dude, Matthew Hoffman. Until then, have a great week.